May it be illness. Pray for those who aren't able to be here this morning because they're under the weather or going through a difficult time with their health. Just encourage them and strengthen them and bring them back in fellowship with us in the near future. Father, we thank you that you go before us in the struggles of our lives as we seek to live for you. That can be a challenge. And I pray, Father, that we would be encouraged by your power and by your presence, the fact that you are in us, that you are with us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, as we're talking about our relationship with you here this day and in recent days and the days ahead, I pray that if there's anyone here today who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that they would surrender their heart to you this day. But I pray for believers that know you, that love you, and desire to have sweet fellowship with you, that would be a reality in all of our lives. And Father, that in that you would be glorified. And I pray that as we talk about these matters here today, that you would grant insight into that relationship that you desire to have with us. And Father, I pray that you would walk before us, go before us now, even in our time together, and open the eyes of our hearts to these truths that would refresh us and encourage us and strengthen us here today. And I ask these things in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, Paul writes, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Well, that passage, Ephesians chapter 5, indicates that marriage is a picture of our relationship with God, the relationship that Jesus has with his people, the church, and that the church should have with him. It's a relationship of intimacy. Now, whether you're married or not, you can just picture a marriage that is focused on Christ, a marriage that wants to show forth Jesus. If you have a meaningful marriage, you observe a meaningful marriage, you observe a couple who wants to spend time together. And they want to be with one another. They don't just want to be roommates. There's a willingness to prefer one another. Where would you like to go out to eat? It doesn't matter to me. Where do you want to go out to eat? And maybe the biggest arguments you have are where the other one wants to go out to eat, right? Because you prefer one another. It doesn't matter to me. I want to do what you want to do because I love you and I care for you. The desire to communicate with one another, not just be roommates like ships passing in the night, but it involves talking and speaking to one another lovingly, but also listening, asking questions to draw out the hearts of our spouse. But an effort and a desire to serve one another. Now you think about those qualities that would be in a good and godly marriage. And we learned there in Ephesians chapter 5 that he's not talking about marriage, he's talking about Christ and the church. And what that amounts to is that marriages should reflect our relationship with God. The question becomes, how can we possibly have a profound and lasting impact on the world around you? You have a relationship with God like that, and it will have an impact on people around you. But the fact of the matter is, as we ask this question, how can we do that? And that is, we can't. We can't do that apart from a relationship with God, apart from God working in our lives. What drives us, what motivates us to have an impact on our lives in the world around us? What gives life purpose? What makes life count? What drives you? How can you know that your life is lived with meaning and purpose? Well, last week I mentioned that all of this got me to thinking about Jesus and his ministry to his disciples just before his crucifixion. We're working leading up to Easter. Easter's on April 9th. And so I think it's good and appropriate for us to talk about these things. In order to be faithful and have a profound and lasting impact on the world around, you must depend upon Jesus totally. You must depend upon Jesus totally. And in John 13, Jesus meets with his 12 disciples in a large upper room, and he's going to eat the Passover with his disciples, and he washes his disciples' feet, setting an example of humility and service. And then Judas, he leaves to betray Jesus. And Jesus then takes this opportunity to teach them some essential concepts, one of which we're talking here leading up to Easter. Last week's take-home thought was total dependency upon Jesus is essential to a life of meaning and purpose. Total dependency upon Jesus is essential to a life of meaning and purpose. So follow as I read John chapter 15. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 11. John 15, verse 1. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, walking toward the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." That was the passage we discussed last week. Now, our passage for this week, verse 6. "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Here's your take-home thought today. And that is, staying connected to Jesus provides the greatest joy. Staying connected to Jesus provides the greatest joy. And the reason I chose this passage to speak on at this point is because I want you to know the joy and blessing of having a vibrant relationship with God. I fear that many go through the motions when it comes to their faith and their relationship with God. I go to church on Sundays and I hear what the pastor has to say, and I pray and I take communion or I got baptized or whatever. I go through the motions and then I live my life the rest of the week the way I want to, or the way I know best. And I just fear that there are many that are missing out on a close relationship with God, an intimate relationship with God. Now, I'm not talking about just whomping up some emotional experience in your life in relationship with God to where you're always dependent upon emotions to know whether you're connected with God. I think that kind of theology lends itself to a lot of ups and downs and even doubts, because if you have a bad day, it's like, uh-oh, what's happened to my relationship with God? Where's God in this, right? And so if it's just a bunch of emotions, I think you're missing out when we talk about an intimate relationship with God. I'm not going there. Now, in a relationship, any kind of relationship, a loving relationship, there are some emotions, right? but it's the commitment that gets you through the ups and downs of that relationship or the ups and downs of life. A feeling-oriented approach to the Christian life provides a lot of ups and downs. It may even cause some to question whether their relationship with God is real or not. And so we want to caution you there. Do you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? It's what we've been talking about here as far as evangelism and the issue of salvation. Do you know my Jesus, right? That's what you want to share with others as you talk with others. Do you know my Jesus? This passage is talking about knowing God. And as you grow in your knowledge of God, you grow in your relationship with God. And the first issue of having a relationship with God, of course, is being born again into the family of God. That's salvation, believing that you are a sinner. And that sin separates you from God. And to realize and believe that there's no way that you could stand before a holy God. That's why you need a Savior, right? And that Savior is Jesus, who died on the cross. He was buried and he rose again. He died in your place. You deserve eternal death, separated from God. And yet he was willing to die for you. And he was buried and he rose again. And you believe that and you ask him to forgive you of your sin, to come into your life, to save you. And that's the first aspect, the first issue that needs to be settled in order to have what we're talking about here, an intimate relationship with God. And where I'm going with this is when you do that and you really believe that, that's the pathway to true joy in your life. My prayer is that you will know God in such a way that you experience a settled stability in knowing that your relationship with God is genuine. It's not a matter of going through the motions. It's not a matter of depending upon emotions and the ups and downs, but it's a reality that provides that settled stability because you know that Jesus is your Savior. And you, because of that, can know God. Is that a reality for you? That's what God wants for you. And because that's what God wants for you, that's what we want for you. And we want to help you with that. So let's talk about how that can be, the intimacy with God can be a reality for you. Salvation is the initial matter. Settle that. But please note that we're taking 4 weeks to discuss a familiar passage to many, but it drives home the point and the importance of abiding in Jesus, or in our vernacular, as I have described it, staying connected to Jesus. That's what abiding is, staying connected to Jesus. He's the true vine. He is the stem to which we, from which we grow and are connected, right? And so throughout our discussions, I want to make sure that we talk about the importance of staying connected, the blessings of staying connected, but also how to stay connected to Jesus. And this information here was so important that Jesus was talking with his disciples before he was going to be leaving them. He had explained that he was going to leave them. They didn't understand it. He was heading to the cross. Peter even said, "No, you can't do that. You're not going to do that." And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Remember that? So this was so important that he had to tell them this information so that they would stay connected with him, even though he was going to leave them. But he was assuring them that he was going to provide a means of staying connected, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. So this was important stuff that he wanted them to know right before he was going to die on the cross for them. So we want to look, first of all, a couple reminders or reiterations regarding staying connected to Jesus. The first one is connection to Jesus is essential to a life of meaning and purpose. kind of a little reiteration from last week, but he comes back to it in verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into a fire, and burned. Connection to Jesus is essential to a life of meaning and purpose. What is he saying there in verse 6? Not connected indicates that one is not Jesus' disciple. If you're not connected to Jesus, that indicates that you are not his disciple. You are not a child of God. Many, if not most people, are looking for some kind of purpose in life, right? They want to live a life of meaning and purpose. My friend, if you are not connected to Jesus, you will lack meaning and purpose in life. And you will also face an eternity separated from God. The scripture calls that hell. And that's what hell is being separated from God. You don't want that. That's one reason why he's talking about here of being connected, staying connected, abiding in Jesus. If anyone does not abide, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. We've had these windstorms here recently, and I just walked through the yard, and just the other day I pulled a branch out of the tree, and I've stacked some branches up behind the shop over here. I'm anticipating that the city is going to knock on my door or give me a phone call and say, hey, there's a branch in the street out in front of your house. They did that before. And so I need to get out there and I need to get that and put it back so that we can throw it away. That's what happens to the branches that just fall and litter the yard this time of year, right? They're just scooped up and they're thrown away. They're worthless. Don't let that describe your life. Don't let that be what affects you for eternity. Because he's talking about separation from God. Stay connected. He goes on, he says, you cannot bear fruit without being connected to Jesus. So what he's talking about, he's not just talking about going through the motions. He's not talking about just doing a bunch of good things, because there are a lot of people out there that do a lot of good things thinking that that's what it takes in order to stay connected to God. That's not it. He's talking about that which results from your salvation. You cannot bear fruit. If you are not a child of God, or you're not sure you're a child of God, let us help you with that today. Talk with us. How sad it would be if you would walk out these doors here today not knowing that you're on your way to heaven because of your relationship with God. Scripture says we don't know what a day might bring forth. You don't know what could happen today. Make sure of your relationship with God today. We want to help you with that. Now, without being connected to Jesus, the true vine, you cannot bear fruit. He provides the life-giving sap that courses through the life of the believer, that makes you alive as a Christian. So how do you stay connected? Well, as I mentioned, first of all, salvation. Come to Jesus to save your soul. But as I said last week, the key to staying connected with Jesus is attention to his word. He comes back to this in verse 7. If you abide in me, look at verse 7, and my words abide in you. The key to staying connected with Jesus is attention to his word. What he says, that's what the Bible is the word of God, or as we might say, the words of God. When you read your Bible, you are reading, listening to the very words of the living God. and he wants his word to live in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. You know, you think again about an intimate, meaningful marriage relationship. There must be attention given to listening and caring about what the other individual, their spouse is saying. So think about that in relationship with God. Again, the picture there. If you're a believer and you're struggling with your faith, feeling disconnected from Jesus, feeling disconnected from the church or people in the church, in relationships, let me encourage you, evaluate the attention that you're giving to the Word of God. Do you love His Word? Are you spending time in His Word, listening to it, reading it, memorizing it, meditating upon it, studying it, applying it to your life? If that's not your practice, I would encourage you to grow. If you want to stay connected to Jesus, focus upon His Word and focus upon the opportunities that you have to listen to His Word. That's one advantage of gathering together with God's people. You come and you hear the ministry of the Word of God. That's good. That's important for you. Hopefully you're learning from this, or at least being reminded of these things as we minister the Word of God, right? So the preaching and the teaching opportunities that Pastor Nate mentioned earlier. But don't rely on just these services to accomplish that for you. Depend upon a child, a baby learns to feed themselves, right? So you take and you have a plan or a study that you participate in throughout the week, whether it's your own personal Bible study, your own personal Bible reading. Some people are reading through the Bible in a year. Some people are reading through the Bible faster than that. Some people are studying a book of the Bible for the year. The point here is to allow God to speak to you. Could you imagine a relationship, a marriage relationship where you never talked? Or very seldom, maybe just once a week, thought, well, let's schedule some time to talk. We're going to do it Sunday mornings, right? That's all we're going to do is we're just talk on Sunday mornings, and then the rest of the time, I'll see you later. It wouldn't be much of a relationship, right? And so it is in your relationship with God. Love His Word. Spend time with Him through His Word and apply it to your life to live it out. He goes on to say, then, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, the thought here is that the father doesn't deny his children what is best for them. It's not that God is saying here that he's going to give you whatever you want. But based upon other clarifying passages, he provides for your needs and whatever is best for you. The more connected you are with him, the more your desires will be in concert with his desires. In fact, really, prayer isn't so much, and we studied this in Men of Faith just yesterday, prayer isn't so much a matter of communicating to God what our needs are. It's prayer is really more bringing our desires in concert with his, right? The closer you draw to God, the more you desire the things that God desires here. And the point here is that he provides for your needs and whatever is best for you. Really, the point here is connection assures provision. Connection with Jesus assures provision. He will meet your needs, whatever they may be. Here's another reminder. The first one being connection to Jesus is essential to a life of meaning and purpose. But another one here is connection to Jesus provides for fruit bearing that glorifies God. Again, we learned some of that last week. He reiterates that here today. Look at verse 8. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Again, last week we pointed out that fruit bearing is the outflow of the Christian life, displaying Christian virtues from his heart. It is his fruit produced in you. Not a matter of, I have to do all of these things in order to stay connected. It's because you are connected that these things flow out from your life. You bear fruit. Just like a branch that's connected is to the tree is able to bear fruit. If it's taken away, there's no way it's going to bear fruit. Fruit is the outcome of one's life. Fruit for God grows out of a heart for God. It takes us back to Matthew 5:16. We studied this a few weeks ago. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and bring glory to your Father in heaven. Okay? Good works are the elements or aspects of fruit of which Jesus is speaking in this context. The good works flow out from the life of the believer because of the gospel, which brings glory to God. And that's why we are recreated in him. We were created to worship, to bring glory to God, but we sinned, all right? In Adam, we're all sinners. And so we needed to be recreated in God through Jesus, through our salvation. And as a result then, we bear fruit to his glory. And the fruit is produced in your life because of God's saving grace in your life. It's not because of you and how good you are, because there's none of us who are good or good enough. Pastor Nate mentioned that book, How Good Is Good Enough. There are a lot of people who think, and this book addresses that as well, there are a lot of people who think, well, I think I'm good enough. And I'm just going to work as hard as I can in order to stand before God. And that little booklet says, you can't be good enough. And there, again, it addresses the fact that there are some people say, how could God ever save me? Because it's not about us. It's about his grace and what he has accomplished for us. And so we surrender to him out of a grateful heart. And then the fruit is produced in your life because of God's saving grace in your life. Jesus wants you to be productive as you live for him. And good fruit produced in your life provides the opportunity for others to see that fruit and draw close to God as well. And we just learned this morning about your invitations and your reaching out, the gospel conversations that you're having. And again, I hope you can make it to our workshop on Saturday. We want to talk about that, just as Pastor Nate said, in an informal way. Talk about how we can be effective. See, that's what we need to be about as a ministry. We're disciples who go into all the world and make disciples. Now, we do that corporately as a church, the preaching and the teaching of the word publicly. But that ought to be the heart of every believer here, to show Jesus to the people around you. We're talking about a life of meaning and purpose. If this is a reality in you, the life of God living in and through you, that should be your desire, to show Jesus to others. And the invitation, I'm just so blessed by the invitations and the gospel conversations that you're having. And may that increase as we go from here. He says in verse 8 there, By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Much fruit bearing is proof of connection. Interestingly, he says much fruit is proof of connection. You can just think, you know, you have a little bud and a little sprout or spurt here or there. That may cause some to, am I really connected like I should be? But I'll tell you what, if you're bearing much fruit, there's no doubt, right? There's no doubt if you're connected. It's undeniable proof. And God wants that for you as a believer and me, that we bear much fruit. We are known by our fruit. So those are some reminders. Here are a couple of indicatives, matters that indicate the reality of connection to Jesus. First of all, love. Love is essential to connection to Jesus. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. God, the Father, is the source of love. God loved the Son. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, when Jesus was baptized, a voice from heaven, God the Father, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The Father loved the Son. It's also reiterated when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. A voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," right? So the Father loves the Son. And he says here, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. In other words, live in light of Jesus' love. His love is expressed through his salvation. God so loved the world, he's the source of love, that he gave his one and only Son, that if you would believe in him, you'd not perish, but have everlasting life. It's an expression of his love. Jesus' love is expressed through his death, burial, and resurrection. He says here later on in this passage, in John 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Right? Jesus proved his love by willing to die for you. Isn't that great? You think about that. That's the expression of love. And it wasn't easy. He, in the garden, sweat great drops of blood out of his love for you and me. Right? And so we live in light of his love. His love is expressed through his care, in that he provided salvation, but then he cares for you. I prayed earlier that he would never leave us. He promised he'll never leave you nor forsake you. His power, his presence, his humility, all of those matters are expressions of his love for us. And his love is even expressed through his discipline. We talked about that a few weeks ago. We love because he first loved us. You love him because of his love for you. Now, how do you do that? So love is essential to connection to Jesus. But another indicative is, and makes this clear, is obedience is essential to connection. How do you show your love for God? Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Obedience to his commands is an indication of staying connected with Jesus. It's an expression of your love for him. Now, your obedience is not a matter of obligation, but more of an indication. If you obey him, it's because of your love for him. It should be. Your love indicates your connection to him as opposed to being obligated to stay connected to him. You know, it's interesting. Even since my dad passed away just a few weeks ago, some say, "Man, you are so much like your dad." You know, boy, you sure can't deny that you're your father's son. You know, you look like him, you act like him, you have mannerisms like your dad. The apple didn't fall far from the tree, right? Well, that's the way it should be with God. Why is it that there are many ways in which I act like my dad and have mannerisms like my dad? Well, because of the time that I spent with my dad, the influence that my dad had upon my life. And I don't act that way so much to say, so that people can look at me and say, we know who you're related to. Some of those things, just they're just the outflow of being Eugene Christian's son, right? Think about that in your relationship with God. The time that you spend with God translates into becoming more like God, right? More like Jesus. Because of the time and influence that Jesus has upon your life. Just like my relationship with my dad, the time and the influence that he has on my life. You see, it's the outflow of that relationship. It should be obvious that your love grows from the indwelling influence of Jesus' love expressed to you. In verse 10 again, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus set the example of loving obedience. And when you realize, man, that's what he did for me, then I am going to live that way in relationship to him and to others. And Jesus set that example. So here's the result. Here's the outcome. That's joy. Joy results from connection to Jesus. Verse 11. These things I have spoken to you. Again, note the importance of his word. These are things that I've spoken to you. His word expressed. I've spoken to you these things, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This indicates a life of meaning and purpose. Talk about joy. When your life displays the fruit of abiding and or being connected to Jesus, your heart responds with joy. It's a sense of great fulfillment. It's a sense of settled satisfaction. You know what? I'm doing what I know to be right in relationship with God. Thank you, Jesus. Right? I think of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him. How many of you have seen Jesus lately? You know? No, we can't see him right now. We're talking about a faith issue. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This information was so important for Jesus to share with his disciples because he was getting ready to leave them. And yet, because even though he was getting ready to leave them, he wanted them to know of these truths and to realize that he was going to send another helper to live out these truths, and that's the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit in your life. These are faith statements. These are issues to which we take heart, and as a result, we live a life of joy, which is another way of saying a life of meaning and purpose. My friend, if you're here this morning and you're not living a life of meaning and purpose, maybe you're searching for meaning and purpose in a bunch of other ways other than Jesus, I want you to know it's only through Jesus and Christ alone that you can have true meaning and purpose. We want to help you with that. I trust as believers that you're encouraged by these truths as God works in your life to bear much fruit to his honor and glory. Father, thank you for our time together today. Thank you for your word. Your word